Please, I just continue Efren's warm welcome, and how wonderful it is to be here. This session will be the first on experiencing and enjoying Christ as applied to our representing the Lord in the gospel and our professional work. And I'd like to just point out that this word gospel is to be opened and explored by us here. It has its full significance. So this time together continues more than 20 years, I believe, of the saints in Taiwan having an annual gathering for blending and furtherance of the gospel. And this is our second time, and it includes blending, and what a wonderful prospect to look at blending with one another through the day today. But also, in the session this morning and in the other sessions, we'd like to explore what it is to represent the Lord with the gospel in our profession and serving others related to health. So I'd like to spend a little time on this in way of introduction. So most of us, or all of us, are in the health professions because we realize it's an important work. It's a high calling. And myself, I ended up studying medicine before I was saved. And so as far as I could tell, it was the most meaningful way that I could spend the years of my life serving others and helping them to alleviate suffering. I'd just been in Nigeria for a year of Peace Corps-like work and realized that there was such a need for this kind of service. And so I came back and studied medicine. It was a high calling. Isn't it wonderful? We have a high calling, and the Lord made us to respond to this kind of calling. Then, in my case, maybe in yours, got saved, regenerated, came to the Lord, and then this is a higher calling. This is the high calling. This is the highest calling. And we realize there's no end, no ceiling of how high we can go in pursuing this high calling. And as we represent this high calling, we present a high gospel. So we have this term, the high gospel, the Lord's recovery, indicating that not only do we realize in our gospel work, in our gospel speaking, in our gospel living, that we're persons who've been saved from traditions, from separation from the Lord, we're eternally saved by grace. But there's something higher, the high gospel, that we can experience and enjoy the Lord. Have Him added to our being, have Him enrich and uplift our being utterly, and live Him out. And so to live Christ, to live Him out, surely is the higher calling. Now, for our purposes this morning, here as health professionals, I'd like to suggest that if you take the high calling and make it higher, and you put these together, you have what? Is it the highest calling? That we have the opportunity to represent the Lord with the gospel, with the good news, in our professional settings, in a way, and in a setting that exceeds the privilege of other saints, because we're always with those who are in need, always with those who are suffering, always with those who need the healing touch, and there we are. We can speak this high gospel of living Christ. And so now, in this highest gospel, living, expressing, enjoying and expressing Christ, we have the opportunity to redefine our profession. So, our profession as a human being, all certain things, service, care for others, and then as physicians, nurses, and other kinds of health professionals here, we have the opportunity then to serve in the alleviation of suffering and bring the gospel to people. But we find ourselves, am I right? Find ourselves serving in a situation where our attention, our concentration, our thought, our consciousness is enveloped in one who was before us. In our service to persons, caring for them. And this, we're taught to render our full attention to those who are serving. But I'd like to suggest now, saints, that this highest gospel that we carry is one that which we now we have a higher exercise than that even, where we register, know, incorporate, involve the Lord with us moment by moment, hour by hour, encounter by encounter, to the point that it's our faculties are uplifted. And we can have the very divine compassion, the very divine realization, and the feeling that He Himself has for others as we give them our attention. What a profession we have now. This is the highest profession of the highest gospel. Now, Brother Felix, I met last night. He's in a column. He's here somewhere. Brother Felix, he's in a column. And it's been said that it's difficult for an accountant to render his full attention to his accounting work and be conversant and touching the Lord as his accountant. Can this be done? Yes. Yes. We're not accountants, but we realize that Brother Lee, who was an accountant, said, I pursued this, and I found out, yes, we can do this. And he brought this to us. He said, whatever your occupation is, it's the setting in which you actually do this, practice this. So here we are. Peter, you're a mannequin. You're doing complex neurosurgical procedure, and you're conversing and enthralled with the consensual eye contact that you have with the eyes of your heart and the Lord Jesus indwelling you with the life of your spirit. I believe Peter probably does this, but as we're talking about this, we can realize this lies ahead as a horizon for us, no? And so as we perfect this, as we pursue this and perfect this, we live out God's gospel. Dear saints, we need to redefine our understanding of who we are, what our profession is, what we're doing, to the highest practice of medicine, the highest practice of nursing, the highest practice of speech pathology, whatever field you're in, is for us to, with those we serve, live out not just the theoretical consideration regarding this, but that we would, with the Lord and in the Lord, day by day progress in a living living in which we touch Him as we touch others. Our living becomes the gospel to them. Our words become the Lord's words. And so, saints, we're for this. We're gathering for this. Blending is good. It's good to bring together. We need to blend. But saints, let's pursue this together. Let's include this in our fellowship times. Let's include this in our prayer today and thenceforth. That this wouldn't just be a once-a-year contest, but this would be a we would form here relationships, touches with one another, to encourage one another in this very matter. Not just of living Christ, but living Him intimately in our professional work. Well, actually, living Christ, we had this in the Memorial Day Conference, 2025, Message 1, Outline 1, Message 1, Roman Numeral 1. How did it go? To live Christ. Oh, the Christian life. The Christian life. That's it. The Christian life is to live Christ. And to live Christ, you need to love Him. This is the Christian life. Now, we're here as health professionals whose living is given to our professional work, largely, at least in our education. That was our challenge. And yes, we're being redefined now. It's not just as we learned in our education, but all of those, the rigor of that discipline now is to be applied through a mingling, a real-time mingling with the Lord, an active real-time touch with Him in which we are. We're Jesus. We're Christ. This is what we're gathering for, saints. This is the gospel, and this is our gospel and our opportunity. And this, I'd like to suggest that this gospel involves an ever more sure, ever more intended, an ever more consistent touch with Him until it enlarges and fills not only our life on site for our service, but all of our daily living. And this is a life that is only accessible to those who have their primary intention in life to be romantically involved with Him. Primary intention is not to be the best physician. Primary intention is not to be a good saint in the church or regular attendant of the meetings. It's to be involved romantically with the Lord to the point that spontaneously, apart from demand, from expectation, He lives Himself out through us. So, I prepared a little video clip, audio clip from the Life Study of Hebrews, Message 14. Very short, a little under 2 minutes, but as you listen to it, realize that He refers to this gospel, this speaking. He's talking about this speaking. He's talking about implementing it where you are in your professional exercise. So, Mark, if you could play that now, please. Please listen.
Oh, I tell you, if you young ones would do these, a lot of the schoolmates will be attentive. They will be attentive. I'm not boasting. Some of the Chinese brothers or sisters, we get to know already that in 1936, listen, 39 years ago, 1936, when I was still young, it doesn't mean I'm old now. I was staying in a place close to the old capital of China, Peking. Probably many of you do know, in that capital, there was, and still there is, the biggest hospital, which is sponsored and supplied by the Rockefeller Foundation. The biggest, even in USA, I'm not boasting, I never saw a hospital like that. All modern, big, you know, it's called in Chinese, 协和医院. In English, PUMC, Peking Union Medical College. That was a great hospital, high standard. What I'm going to tell you, all the nurses got caught. Nearly not one exception. All the nurses got caught by the church. They all came to the church meeting. I was there. And some of the doctors also got caught. By what? By the higher priest. Wow. They were unfair. This is what is needed today.
Brothers and sisters,
I have no intention to belittle anyone. I have no intention to offend anyone. The only thing, I got a burden because I saw something higher. I saw something better. I let people all did this something better.
Dear brothers and sisters, we've seen something better. We're going to continue to see something better, and we want others to have it, and we want to speak and live out this gospel. And that's what we're doing here, in addition to our blending. Now, open to your outline, please, and your handout. Our first session is on experiencing the all-inclusive Christ as the all-inclusive life-giving spirit with a view of expressing Christ in our profession. What a title! In our profession, our gospel is that we experience the all-inclusive Christ all-inclusively. And when we experience him all-inclusively, the way we experience him is as the all-inclusive life-giving spirit. And so this brings us to Galatians. So Galatians, the first of the books of the part of the divine revelation, we begin with this book. And we have here, so all-inclusively implies our living. And our living for our self-professions implies involvement in our professional work. So this needs to be the characteristic part of our professional work, that we experience and express them. Now, in our scripture reading here, you know, Galatians is wonderful in its progression. And it shows that from the time of our regeneration, as traced by these verses, we have Christ revealed in us, living in us, formed in us, to the point that in the final verse, 3:14, we experience all inclusively the promised Spirit, the blessing of Abraham. And we are in the good land in reality, fulfilling the old, entire Old Testament type. And this is to happen in, you know, those who served in the Old Testament time. They served in the good land. They lived in the good land. They lived, did everything in the good land. Likewise, we can and we are to do everything now, enjoying the office of Christ as the office of life giving spirit. Now, this can sound a little familiar to us, but let's realize that we are going to apply this. We're seeking to apply this in a moment-by-moment way in the exercise of our profession, in our care for others. Now, so let's go to Roman number one and course our way through these Roman numerals, which will trace an advancement in experience. Now, these Roman numerals are experientially related, and they trace an experience for us to follow as we endeavor to be those who can live Christ. relationship with Him, it becomes all-embracing, all-fulfilling, and all-applied. Isn't this wonderful? As I'm speaking to you, I'm just enthralled. I'm excited. Okay, so, Roman number one. The way to receive, experience, and enjoy the all-inclusive Christ as the life-giving Spirit, that's the title, right, is by God's revealing Christ into us. Now, notice, or you will notice as we pass through the Roman numerals, that they all begin this way, to receive. We receive the all-inclusive Christ and the most influential and crucial point in our life. Oh, remember that day. Remember the day of your regeneration. And you received Christ. That day. The heavens and the earth changed for you and for the heavens and the earth. And you became a different person with a different view and a different future and a different destiny. And so that reception for the divine life in the divine person who changed us forever, established a principle by bringing the divine God Himself in Christ as the Spirit and the into our being as the divine life, established a principle that is to govern everything from there forward. Now, that sounds simple, right? Logical, it should be that way. Then we have what we call this lovely term, the principle of our regeneration. The principle of our regeneration. Meaning that, and indicating that telling moment when we were regenerated was to govern, predict, define everything that happens thereafter. Does it? Did it? The reason it didn't in your case and mine is because this economy of God, this plan of God, this salvation of God is a relationship plan. And it awaits like conviction, like commitment, like realization on our part as the initiator, as our divine husband, as if. So we're in a process, yes? A romance-characterized process in which we gradually respond more fully and more fully and more fully to what He's doing and wanting to work out in us until our entire living is in the experience of regeneration and we are new creatures. And this is to involve our professional exercise and work. How glorious! What a high calling we have. But now, so, in this verse, the end of verse 15 and verse 16, when it pleased God, who set me apart from my mother's womb, to reveal Christ in me. Sometimes Burley says, because it's the first word, generation, it could be termed into me, into me. But because it's referring to the principle of regeneration, the word is not in Greek in, into, it's just in. Now, based applying this principle of regeneration, what should this mean? He is revealed in us. So today, are we in the principle of regeneration? Are we in the principle of our regeneration? This means that He should be revealed in us now. If He's revealed in us now, we're in the experience of Brother Lee did a marvelous conference here, well, actually in Dallas, in 1978, entitled God's Good Pleasure. It's an in-life message. Classic message, wonderful message. His good pleasure is that He would reveal Himself in us. When He reveals Himself in us, we what? We perceive Him. We know Him. We're taken by Him. We see Him. We behold Him. He's there. We're conscious of him. We're with him. Are we not? Were we not in our regeneration? Well, the principle is, according to Colossians 2:6, as you have received the Christ, Jesus the Lord, now, he's your good man. Walk in him. This implies that it's possible, whether you're an accountant, whether you're a speech therapist, whether you're a laboratory technician, whatever you are, that you can live in the experience of Christ and he will live in you. This means having a general consciousness of him, an inner realization, an inner personal adherence that uplifts, that emerges, that enriches, that gives you your acumen in a way you couldn't have it otherwise. Anyway. We don't have time to go over all the subpoints carefully as we'd like to, but I'd like to point out a few phrases in them. In A, under this, nothing is as pleasing to God as the unveiling of the revelation of the living person of the Son of God in us. So, notice the present tense here in our experience is past tense. This happened to us in the past. It's to be fresh. It's to be now. This is present tense. Is he pleased now? He's not pleased. He wants to be pleased. This is he needs to be in our consciousness now. Is he in your consciousness now? I hope I'm not excluding him or replacing him or pushing him out of your consciousness with what I'm saying. I hope he's embracing you and you're embracing him as we speak. A physician, a specialist, a nurse, whatever your profession is again, can live, is to live, in abiding, unbroken, ever more rich, registration, realization, consciousness of him presently with them as they live, including their professional bench. Applies to people at all walks. But one might have a thought, some might have a thought. If an accountant can do this in spirit, maybe they can. Can a neurosurgeon do it? Say through that. Yes. Yes. And this is to live in the principle of our regeneration. He says, the more inward, subjective revelation we have of the Son of God, the more he will live in us. So as we know, and we'll talk in just a few minutes about Galatians 2:20, he lives in us, right? Or does he? Or does he? In his sharing in Lectured in Galatians Message 9, Billy says, he's the living one. He lives always in himself. But the fact that we're regenerated doesn't mean he lives in us. He lives in us when we render to him due attention. When our hearts turn. We're conscious. Why? Because this is a relationship matter. Yes, this is a romance-related matter. And romance. Apart from romance, divinely defined, and humanly considered, no way. No way. Someone could say about what I'm saying, you're talking empty terms, theoretical things, unreachable, inaccessible, humanly impossible, incompatible with my personal situation. Inescapable truth is that the divine husband arranged a situation where, yes, it's impossible unless you engage him intimacy, intimate fellowship, affectionate touch, fulfilling the divine definition of love. The experience we're talking about here is when we're involved with Him, not just rescuing us from our temper, rescuing us from anxiety or whatever. We engage with Him. The heart turns. The more He becomes the reality of the all-inclusive land is the blessing of Abraham. The blessing draws flesh to be spirit. Let's go down to D. We need to be full of the revelation of the Son of God. Picture your average day on site. Are you full of the revelation of the Son of God? Is it there, fixed, tended by you, cared for by you, introduced by you, sustained by you? I think that's what full here means. Let's pursue together. None of us could do this individually. None of us could do this alone. But together we can do this. We can pursue this. And thus, how wonderful we can gather this way for this kind of fellowship. We need to be in the full revelation, the full registration, the full appearing of the Son of God to us, and thereby become a new creation with Christ living in us, being formed in us, being enjoyed by us. Continually. Again, these absolute adverbs are a challenge to you and I. Do you take them? Do you believe them? Do you consider they're figurative? They're literary. They're descriptive. They're to make a point. They're to press beyond what's feasible to make a point. No. It's to not shortchange. It's to not understate. It's to not miss the crucial center and focus of everything, which is that we would engage ourselves with Him intimately and effectually as the basis for our living, as the new definition of who we are, as the new priority in our professional service. So 2 says, based upon this, so can we be persons who, you remember when you received Him, when you believed, didn't you get uplifted? Didn't you get carried away? Didn't you have a spring in your step? Didn't you have a smile? Didn't you have a twinkle? That was when you received Him. In the principle of your regeneration, that's to be yours. Is that not awaiting you? Is that not there awaiting you? Is He any different as He indwells you as He was when He first presented Himself to you? No, He's not. He's waiting for you to let Him be more and more and more in ways that you didn't understand or didn't conceive of before, because only when we pursue together the ministry can we conceive of these things. They're not attainable, they're not reachable with just human mentality. But as we pursue together, number 2, the way to receive, experience, and enjoy the office of Christ as the life-giving Spirit is by receiving, by our receiving of Christ out of the hearing of faith. So we've had a wonderful ministry recently on faith. Oh, the winter training and in the Thanksgiving conference and summer training, we've had messages on faith. And these points help us to recall them, help us to point out that when we believe, when we believed, the one who is faith, objectively, faith is Christ, His person and His work. He came to us as faith. We were enthralled. That enthrallment opened us. We came in. And we had the objective faith outside us. It became subjective faith in us. we say, do the same. When he came in us, he came into us, he formed a union in us. We call that union an organic union. And that organic union is now. That organic union is now he himself, the person circulating in us and through us, through our human faculty of our spirit, causing us to be ever joined, ever accessible in that faculty to him. Now, as we touch him in this union by turning our heart, we hear something. He speaks something. And when we listen, open to our being. He floods in. And this is a feeling of faith. And this continues and is to continue our receiving him. So not only do we live in a registration regarding him, but also we converse with him. We hear him. We respond to him. We interchange with him. We dialogue with him. And as we do that, he says, the faith of the believers is Christ entering into them to be their faith, making their spirit a spirit of faith. Comes out of hearing and hearing of the word. This is from the Logos word. It's also from the Rhema word as we engage him at our workplace. See, faith is to believe that God is and we are not. When we contact him, we, David Yang as formerly known, no longer exists. David Yang is over. When that DY touches a patient, there's a transmission, there's an impact, there's a healing, there's a something that happens. Faith always annuls us and reveals Christ in us. So, as we're engaged in this dynamic, having a heart turned as the condition of our being, he is our faith in this union, and we are in dialogue with him, and we are registering his appealing to us. Three says, the way to receive, experience, and enjoy the all-inclusive of Christ as the life in the Spirit is to be born according to the Spirit. Hallelujah. Again, we have the initiation we receive. And by being given the Spirit of God's Son into our hearts. Based on what I've said so far, how does the first part of this point continue into the second? We're born of the Spirit. How does the Spirit of the Son of God, how does God send the Spirit of His Son into our hearts? How? We contact Him. Lord, I can't breathe without you. I can't turn without you. I can't. I can't be the person I need to be. And then, in that contact, in that organic union, this contact gives him free way and an open door to fly. And the Spirit of the Son gives a heart quiet. This is to happen on sight. This is to happen on sight. Four, the way to receive. The way to receive, experience, and enjoy Christ as the life-giving Spirit is by putting on Christ through baptism that puts us into Christ. When you believe, you are immersed into the Spirit as the good land. In your spirit. And the rest, via the medium of romance, is to follow. Follow your spirit into this immersion. And so when you entered into the baptismal waters, your inner being had a certain conviction. And that was, my spirit has been immersed into God. Now the rest of my being is to follow. This happened practically speaking in my daily living and in my professional work, which is the majority of my daily living. So, Galatians 3:27 says, he was baptized into Christ. It's all right. What kind of code is that? We put on Christ. When our patients see this, register this, what an endowment to them. What an infusion to them. What a healing to them. But this is so. So we are to live this way. Our daily living is to be composed of incremental situations where we contact him, put him on, no longer live ourselves, but the new David Yang lives. And this is to live in the principle of our baptism. This to happen in our professional life. So we'll just read the remaining points and conclude. 5. The way to receive, experience, and enjoy the office of Christ as the life-giving spirit is by being identified with him in his death, so that it is no longer we that live, but Christ who lives in us. In the life we now live, in the flesh we live, in the faith of the Son of God. Galatians 2:20. So, the New Testament gives us God's economy, which via romance is to bring us into full involvement with him. The most telling and the most basic book on God's economy is the book of Galatians. In Galatians, the most basic book on God's economy, that you have the most basic verse, Galatians 2:20, which is included in this point. And in this most basic verse, you have the most basic and governing portion, which is the final portion. Who loved me and gave himself up for me. And allows us to see this one and be filled with appreciation of him. This appreciation governs us, holds our attention this way, and gives him a way to infuse himself into us. From that point on, from our regeneration on, the rest of our life is a living in God's economy, which is an economy and becomes an economy of appreciation. Oh, why do we come to this world? To appreciate. Why do we come to the meetings? Why do we touch the saints? To appreciate him. Everything is to appreciate him until the economy of God, which is an economy of appreciation, has a wealth of its currency, which is the preciousness of this person involved with that. The place this is happening is in the clinic, is in the schools, in the workplace. So, I think my time is up. So I'll leave the remaining. I'll just read the final Roman numeral to you. The way to receive, experience, and enjoy the office of Christ as life-giving spirit is by living and walking according to the Spirit, by having Christ formed in us through travail, every patient you see, by sowing into the Spirit, onto the Spirit with the desire and aim of the Spirit in view. Everything is a sowing. By boasting in the cross of Christ and by living a new creation. And then finally, by bearing the brands of Jesus. By the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in our spirit, that is the ultimate signature of ours, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And so in this verse, before verse 18, it says, don't bother me. Don't bother me. Don't bother me. I'm involved. I'm bearing the brands of physician bear the brands of Jesus? Can a nurse bear the brands of Jesus? Can a nurse or a physician say, don't bother me, I'm bearing the brands of Jesus? We have this view. This is what we're after. This is the highest gospel. This will cause Brother Lee's experiences reflected in that brief audio clip to be ours. And this will cause just as that instance in that hospital affected the Lord's move on the earth, as we do this, this will affect the Lord's move on the earth and bring us to the end of the age.
Praise the Lord for the way to receive and enjoy Christ. At this point, we're going to have, we asked two saints to give a key testimonies, so we'll ask for them to come up, Sister Jillian Ross and Brother David Cuthbertson. While they're coming up, let's go to the title page, and let's read the title of this whole conference together.
Generation, you Lord, your works to another, and they will declare your mighty acts. So here I thank the Lord for this opportunity as an older saint, a retired saint, to Lord his unsearchable greatness to another generation of medical staff. Brother Lee said in the effective words of 1995-96, we must see that genuine contact with the Lord occurs in a practical daily living and working situations. When we contact the Lord in the midst of practical situations, we can be sure that our contact with Him is genuine. So in the midst of these practical experiences that I will share, the Lord was very faithful in experiences like what my dear brother Rick said, and even so faithful in my unfaithfulness. So I know what it's like to work long hours, to switch from day shift to night shift and to be half awake at 4 a.m. in the morning. One of my earliest experiences in my military-style training, nursing training in New Zealand, was dealing with death. I was 18 years old, and my untried faith was challenged. Looking at the shell of a body, I decided there wasn't a God. However, the Lord kept bubbling up within me with Him until one day, in the shower, getting ready for work, for Him, there shall be showers of blessing, rose up within me. I was defeated, and by His mercy, I gave unto the Lord. I know what it's like when performing CPR and a school nurse calls you to come and pick up your son immediately as you're sick. I also know what it's like when a colleague gets shot and dies. She doesn't turn up to work, and the staff finds out from the ER department. That night, the staff fell apart in front of me. And the responsibility of our little patients fell on a couple of us. I know what it's like when you have a very difficult day at work, and you come home to three boisterous boys who are demanding food as there's no fast food in the refrigerator. As a young mother, I also know what it's like to have a sick child and be labeled an over-anxious nurse. And nobody knows, and nobody wants to listen to you. During this period of time, sadly, I argued with God. I thought He owed me something. But by His mercy, loving grace, He showed me that every person, every circumstance, every situation was ordered by the Father's hand. Tribulation is a sweet visitation of God's grace. Okay. So anyway, I fell on my knees when I saw that, repented, and receive such peace. Amazingly, almost straight away after my repentance, the Lord arranged for a diagnosis for our son. He had total anomalous venous return. The Lord's peace took me through the year prior to the surgery and after the surgery. He's alive today. During the difficult time in the church life in New Zealand, I was left wounded, confused, along with many other saints. After hearing a message from Brother Lee on being constituted with the truth, I realized why we had deviated, as we didn't know the truth. I have made a vow to the Lord that I would read the Bible. When we came to America, I got a job at Parkland Hospital, and I experienced a major culture shock in management style and medical terminology. I was desperate. I spent my drive time to work crying out to the Lord. My car became my holy of holies. You can pray anywhere. You have probably seen me walking about with my trusty cane as I used it since my back injury in 1993. It was the result of a fall at Parkland Hospital. This experience was painful and remains a thorn in my flesh, but it became another experience of finding grace is sufficient for everyone. You know, and I want to thank the doctor brothers at this time who prayed, took over my case, researching and finding the best surgeon to perform the surgeries. I am eternally thankful for this. John and I, along with Dr. David Vinson, started VIP Living Centers in 2003. It is an assisted living facility. We owned it for 18 years. And I want to touch a crucial matter concerning the gospel. Because it was our business, we had the freedom to share Christ with our staff and our residents. John and I failed many times, but I have one short story I want to tell you. We had a New York Jewish woman as a resident for a number of years. She was the belle of VIP Living Centers. Everything centered around her. So one day I thought she was getting sick, so I told her, "I think I have to admit you." Her reply was, "Oh, no, you don't." My reply, that was how she was like. My reply was, "Then you better ask the Lord Jesus to heal you." Her reply was, "What would the Lord Jesus want with an old Jewish lady?" So then I said to her, "Well, he was a Jew, and he loves you." So she called on the Lord that day, saying, "Lord Jesus, I love you." It was so sweet to my ears, and I said to the Lord inwardly, "Lord, remember this." She may not remember this moment, but you and I do. My realization during my time at VIP was that God really loves and cares for every person on the earth. I would be at home, which was across the street, and I would get a distinct feeling that I needed to go to VIP. I would eventually obey, as I'm not always very good at obeying, but I was needed right at that time. So this just proved to me, time and time again, how much He cares for all of us. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter who you are. He loves you. So through all my work experiences, life experiences, church life experiences, three words have come up into my being over the last few days. He touched me. Yes, I touch Him, but He touched me. I am full of thankfulness to the Lord for the Word of God, for the ministry of the interpreted Word, and for the faithful speaking of brothers. These precious words can and do enrich our experience of Christ when we open to Him and allow Him to shine, expose, and deal with our inner man. Praise Him.
So good to be here. Praise the Lord. It's wonderful to be in Irving because I am from Irving. I don't know if you know this, but Brother Raul Bahandas would say, "On the bottom of my shoe, it says, made in Irving." I grew up here. This is our jungle gym. The meeting hall was our playground. When the saints were meeting downstairs in the prayer meeting, they would hear us upstairs. All their feet running back and forth. And Brother Dave would come up and talk. No, Brother Rick was my doctor, and then Brother Dave was my doctor, and then Brother Alfred was my doctor. Praise the Lord, we're in good hands. So I'm so happy to be here and experiencing Christ with you all, enjoying Christ with you all, with a view to expressing Christ with you all. And brothers, you know, Steve asked about a testimony about experiencing and enjoying Christ in the healthcare setting. And I thought, oh Lord, how much do I experience and enjoy Christ in the healthcare setting? Right? In the meetings, no problem. We enjoy, we experience Christ. In our homes, at the home meetings, you know, there's many times we enjoy Christ. But in the healthcare setting, do we enjoy Christ? And so I was just considering, Lord, how much do I experience and enjoy Christ at work, right? And so just kind of going back, I've been in various healthcare settings, and this looks different depending on which setting we're in, right? Medical school. I was in medical school at one point, and I had just graduated from the full-time training in Anaheim. If you don't know what that is, find out and go. If you do know what it is, go. Okay, so we had just graduated. I went with a brother, and both of us went to the same medical school. We lived together. We ate together. We did everything together. It was wonderful. We experienced and enjoyed Christ together. And so we went to class. We had this 20-minute break between the first two classes designed so you could go get a little breakfast or whatever. And we would just sit there and kind of read our life study, read our Bible. Just we weren't proselytizing. We weren't standing at the front of the class. We were just sitting there reading the ministry and reading our Bible. And people took note. They saw that. Brother Lee said in that message, your schoolmates will be affected. Your schoolmates will be affected. So some in the back rows saw us up there in the front row just sitting there reading. And we began to have appointments with some of these ones. You know, you have to eat, so you have an appointment with them over lunch. And then we didn't know what we were doing, but we opened our little home. We had a little apartment, and we opened our home, and we didn't know how to do much, but we could cook breakfast. So I made pancakes, and he made scrambled eggs, and every Saturday morning, we'd have some students in our little home and have our little Bible study with them, enjoyed the Lord with them. We still studied a lot, all the time. Brother Peter remembers we'd go to the Lord's Day morning meeting, we'd leave, we'd go to his house for lunch, eat, and then run back to study some more. Brother Peter, so gracious. Feed us and then send us on our way to study more. So we took care of those matters, but we were there enjoying the Lord, experiencing the Lord in the midst of that situation. And because of that, we had a home meeting that grew and grew and grew. And some eventually, one brother, he came into the church life and just graduated from the full-time training because he was an unbelieving classmate. But through that experience of being in our home, coming into the church life, eventually went to the full-time training. After medical school, residency, and fellowship, then he went to the training. So it's not too late. So that was us in medical school, right? But then through residency, that was a blur. I'm just happy I survived. Somehow I enjoyed Christ and experienced Christ in residency. Again, Brother Peter can testify. I'd be on the front row of the meetings, falling asleep. But I was there. I was there. Hallelujah. So now I'm in practice now. I live in Lubbock, Texas. I'm an otolaryngologist in Lubbock, Texas. And I don't have 20 minutes just to sit there and read a life study, right, in clinic. But in the operating room, I do, because it takes time to turn over cases. It takes 15 or 20 minutes. And so I actually have, if I'm wise, I have a lot of 20-minute blocks. And I can sit there and I can read a life study between cases. I brought this as an illustration. Sorry, I share with young people, so illustrations are helpful. My wife got me this. Because she has determined that I need to drink more water. You'll notice it's empty. So, work in progress. But she feels that it's healthy for me to drink more water. She's right. Of course, I didn't. She might see this. I apologize. Anyways, I had a bottle. But the bottle I had to lift. And that made it difficult to drink. And it was opaque. So there are two outstanding characteristics. This has a straw, which makes it easy, and it's clear, which makes you conscious of how much you have drank. And so throughout the day, this is supposed to encourage me to drink more water. Well, when it comes to experiencing and enjoying Christ, I realized, how can I make it easy? So on my phone, I have a little app. It's called Life Study, 500 Life Study app. Because it's not easy. I might forget my book. I might forget where I was if you're halfway through a message. But you just click on that, and it's easy. You pick up right where you left off. Wow, thank you, Lord, for the saints who made it easy to enjoy Christ, to experience Christ in the midst of our busy day. And there's another recovery version app. And so in Lubbock, the students are reading through the New Testament, so I have to stay along, right? I have to read my chapter. There are other apps on my phone. You know, there's a Scrabble. I just downloaded the Scrabble app to keep my mind healthy. But I've been exercising to make it a point. Read your chapter first. Read your life study first. And then by the fifth case, you can play some Scrabble. But the first few cases, you need to read that life study and read that chapter. Because when we're experiencing and enjoying Christ, then there will be an expression of Christ. So in the operating room, just on Thursday, I had these two difficult cases, thyroidectomies. And the first one, just a lobe, I thought it'll be easy. And the woman doesn't have a neck. I mean, you know, she's just, her proportions aren't right. There's no neck. So I get tape, I'm taping her chest down. And Lord Jesus. Usually the operating version of me hates the clinic version of me. Because in clinic, I see patients, I say, no problem, we can take care of that. And then I'm doing surgery, I'm thinking, what was I thinking? This is ridiculous. So I'm in the operating, and I am calling on the Lord. Because there's this nerve called the recurrent laryngeal nerve, and if you cut it, they can't talk anymore. They don't like that. And so I'm just elbow deep, just trying to pull this thyroid out, trying to find the nerve, all these retractors. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. It's possible for an otolaryngologist to look away unto Jesus. And I can tell you that because I've experienced that. Lord Jesus. Sometimes I can do that while I'm operating. Sometimes I have to stop operating and just say, Lord Jesus. I have a mask on, but sometimes they hear me anyways. They might think I'm, you know, saying the Lord's name in vain, but I'm not. I'm desperately calling on the Lord. So I got to find that nerve. And then I thought, okay, the next case will be better. It was just as bad. And it was a total thyroid, and they had cancer in one part, stuck to the muscles, and I'm dissecting around it, still looking for the nerve. Oh, Lord Jesus. You might not know where the nerve is, but you know where your spirit is. And Christ, as the life-giving spirit, who's the all-inclusive good land, is in our spirit. And he is always ready and available and easy to find. Lord Jesus. So in the operating room, between cases, if I'm exercised, I can experience and enjoy Christ. During cases, if I'm exercised, I can experience and enjoy Christ. And then in the clinic, I'm a surgeon. I don't like clinic. But I have to do it. So we're in the clinic. And the worst thing about being a doctor is the patients. Everything else is great. But these 30 people a day come to me with their complaints and their problems and their situations. And the natural me just sees bag of problems, bag of problems, bag of problems. But that's not what the Lord sees. The Lord sees vessel made in my image, vessel made in my image, vessel made in my image. I want to fill him with myself. I want to make him a member of the body of Christ. So God's view is different than my view of humanity. That's why we need to spend time. I enjoyed this sharing so much. Spend the time. Take time to behold him. Look full in his wonderful face. So we need to spend time to be infused with our precious Lord Jesus and all that is on his heart. And so in clinic, I don't have 20 minutes between each patient. And so I really need to touch the Lord beforehand. And I think it's evident to the patients how much I've been enjoying the Lord. And I can tell how a patient encounter is going by my scribe's gum chewing. As the encounter goes longer, the gum chewing speeds up. And then when she starts popping bubbles, I know, okay, it's time to wrap this up. We got to move on to the next patient. Just this past week, I was with a patient, and he came in. He had a sleep study. He came in. I do Inspire. It's a hypoglossal nerve stimulator surgery for sleep apnea. Anyways, you have to have a sleep study within 2 years to qualify. So he comes in, and he had delayed his appointment 3 or 4 times. And because of that, his sleep study was now out of date. And so I told him, well, we're going to have to get a new sleep study. It's been over 2 years. And he said, no, it was just last year. And I have, you know, hundreds of electronic records telling me exact date and time that this thing. And he said, no, it was last year. So I wait while he searches through his phone back, you know, 2 years of calendars worth. Lord, the gum chewing's getting faster. Lord, Jesus. And then he suddenly realizes it was 2 years. Wow. And then I have to sit through a conversation with his wife about how can it have been 2 years? Can you believe it was 2 years? Lord, Jesus. So I can't call on the Lord outwardly in that situation, but inwardly, I guarantee you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. And sometimes I'm like my scribe, like, come on, come on, come on. We got 17 people this morning. You know, I don't have time for this. And other times, Lord Jesus, I can sit here and just be with this person, you know, be in their situation, be in their level, just be expressing Christ to them. And it's not always an outward, you know, glorious thing. One patient, he was a young man. This was early in my practice. He had a thyroid cancer and a parathyroid adenoma inside the thyroid. It's a bizarre case. But he was a Christian, and we prayed during our appointment. They asked to pray, so we prayed during our appointment. I didn't know this. His wife actually took a picture of us praying together. It was really sweet. I saw them several times afterwards, and he actually ended up giving me a book, C.S. Lewis, Mere Christianity, a book he had enjoyed. And so I hope I gave him a book as well. We've got a lot of those. But it's just, you know, sometimes you have those experiences. Other times it's just the patients don't even know it, but they're touching Christ. They're touching Christ. They're touching the humanity of Jesus. They're touching the patience of the Lord Jesus. They're touching the compassion of the Lord Jesus. And so when we're enjoying Christ, that will just exude from our being. Just in consideration of this time, a verse came, and that's 2 Timothy 2:4. No one serving as a soldier entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please the one who enlisted him. And so I just appreciate in this case, there's affairs of this life. That's unavoidable. That's just human life, the affairs of this life. The question is the entanglement. Are we entangled with the affairs of this life? And this could happen anywhere. This could happen at home, remodeling the bathroom, kids' sports. Anything can become an entanglement, right? Even in the church life, coordinating, organizing, arranging. Someone had to put these chairs together. Someone had to arrange the food. There's so much that could even be an entanglement, right? We have to be careful. But more than anything, I realized at work, are we entangled in the affairs of this life, right? And if we are, the reason this applies is it will hinder our experience and enjoyment of Christ. Our entanglement hinders our experience. We're just not free to enjoy the Lord. And this may be a little bit of a word to the younger ones, because I was in your shoes. You're not here by accident, and you won't be here by accident in 10 or 20 years. On the one hand, it's the Lord's mercy. There's no doubt. On the other hand, we need to purposefully be here. Purpose not to be entangled in the affairs of this life, right? You're in medical school, wonderful. Do your best. Make the best grades possible, but don't get consumed and usurped and absorbed and entangled. Because even just by not being entangled, that will be an expression. That will be an expression of Christ. I will not be entangled by all the affairs of this life. You could be a superstar researcher. Wonderful. Fulfill that capacity. You could get a Nobel Prize. Wonderful. That's a piece of trash compared to the masterpiece of God. We're here for God's masterpiece. We have the highest calling. We're not just regenerated, but we've seen God's economy. We don't have a low gospel. We have the highest gospel, that God created man in his image and after his likeness to express him and represent him. Not just individually, but corporately as the body of Christ. Wow. Wow. That is the masterpiece of God. How could you give yourself to anything when you've seen that? I just appreciate, yes, this medicine thing, it's a calling. The highest calling is to please the one who has enlisted us, is to serve the Lord in such a way we're not encumbered, we're not entangled, we're not hindered, we're just free to enjoy the Lord. We're free to experience the Lord. And when we're freely experiencing and enjoying Christ, we will freely express Christ. And that expression, it's just a savor. People can smell it. This person is different. What is wrong with him? I remember in medical school, going back to medical school, after the basic didactics, year and a half, in clinicals, I never checked my grades once. I didn't check them once. How weird is that? Any med students in here? Yeah, how bizarre is that, a med student not checking their grades? I was just there enjoying the Lord. I was learning. But I wasn't consumed by it. I wasn't absorbed by it. I didn't know my grades until I had to apply for residency. So you're different. You're different if you're not entangled. They think it's strange that you're not like them. Why aren't you running with us into this entanglement, right? No, I won't. I refuse. I'm going to be free to enjoy the Lord. I'm going to be free to express the Lord. And so when we're such a person, even our lack of entanglement will be a testimony to those around us. Like Brother Lee said, we will affect our schoolmates, affect our classmates, affect our workmates. Even if we're not speaking the gospel, we are living the gospel. But it only happens when we spend time with Jesus. We have to spend time being infused by the one who is unencumbered, the unentangled one. The only one who's free from all this is our dear Lord Jesus. So may we all continue experiencing Christ, enjoying Christ, and striving to express Christ as the all-inclusive Spirit who's the good land in our spirit. Praise the Lord.